IT businesses in Sacramento, California.
From somewhere deep in the cloud and the corners of the earth, this is the Killing It Podcast, with a focus on helping you make sense and dollars of all things IT, with your hosts, Dave Sobel, Ryan Morris, and Carl Polachuk.
Welcome to episode 65 of the Killing It Podcast. I'm Carl. I'm joined today by Ryan and Dave, like every other day.
I know. At home, working like always.
Although, I got to say, I've been sending out beach towels to members of the Small Biz Thoughts technology community. So even though I'm trapped inside, as members of my community get out, they will at least have something to lay down on the beach.
And I'm using the great outdoors a great deal, so I look forward to the towel arriving.
See, the cosmic benefits of being the one who provides the beach towel, like you are the one who brings the sun. Hey, that's a good brand for you, sir. A good brand.
That's what I want everybody to believe. So
totally true.
I will say, if you want a ridiculous giveaway, try beach towels, because they're expensive to buy and they're almost as expensive to ship.
The things we learn on doing interesting pieces of swag.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was going through my desk. Sorry, I was going through my desk looking at tchotchkes the other day, and remembering the conferences where you got them and what the things were, and you can see the seasons in our industry, from the external battery to the thumb drive to the, like, you can go back in time and find what was happening in our world by what people thought was a cool tchotchke to give away. I do miss cool tchotchkes, I will admit.
See, I purged my office. I just got rid of anything with brand, and definitely my pile of t-shirts. That stuff all went away.
Well, I think that the best tchotchke for the year before the COVID was the Power Brick, because I would always take one of those, and whether I was giving it to my daughter or one of my employees, it's always loved, even if it's got a logo on it.
Yeah, you can never have too many batteries, is my opinion, because I travel with like a 5K one, a 10K one, a 20K one. Like, I can power my laptop, my phone, my iPad. I'm never going to have a dead phone when I'm traveling.
They're just tricky to ship.
also. And by the way, if you travel to China, they will confiscate it from you. In most circumstances.
That sounds like a learned lesson.
Yes, it does. Several that I was really emotionally attached to, because they were cool. And
now, is that an official ban or just the
there's a list of rules, like capacity and labeling and other things. And it takes some learning to figure out what all the rules are. One of them is it must say what the capacity of the battery is on the outside in permanent ink, right? Like that, you know, the consumer electronics, right? Little seal and whatever, and it's got its little barcode, and it's got all these other things. It must actually print, this is 10K, 10,000 milliamps or less. And if it doesn't show that visibly on the outside, then they will confiscate it.
Did you remind him where that was made? I'm just asking.
I know. This was my thing. I was like, it came from here. And by the way, it came in with me, out with me, like all these times, and he was not having it. One fewer battery.
It returned home.
Exactly. So do we have a sponsor this week?
We do this week. So thanks to the folks at PCmatic for sponsoring the Killing It Podcast. So PCmatic. Endpoint security built on a zero trust philosophy, allowing only trusted applications and blocking all the rest. Lightweight, simple to deploy, easy to manage. Find out about PCmatic's unique lead sharing program for MSPs, backed by a primetime national TV campaign. Together, we bring advanced security solutions combined with more than sales enablement. We bring actual leads. Find out more about PCmatic by visiting PCmatic.com/MSP. And I think we've all seen some of their commercials.
We have seen their commercials, and I've actually spoken with them a few times over the years about their strategy and how it comes from. And the one thing that I learned from them, I don't know, I'm thinking 3 years ago, they taught me the concept of zero trust. And I was like, okay, I know what it is in concept, but what does that mean architecturally? And then they showed me the graphic and the workflow around. And I was like, this is why professionals have jobs, because that's well, not that, easy. That's, I'm glad they've put it in software.
Well, right. We're going to not go further into there. We're going to tell people to go look at them. But instead, today, talk about your first topic. Because what was interesting is Ryan, you came with this one. And I thought it was an interesting angle on the coming boom for freelancers. And at first glance, you might say, okay, freelancers, that's not what we're talking about here with our space. But actually, I think there's a lot of implications. What caught your eye here?
So this is a phenomenon familiar to anybody who's been through more than one economic cycle, up and down. The economy gets good. Everybody gets a new job. You get hired. You go inside the machine. The economy gets bad. There are a bunch of layoffs, and there's also a corresponding boom in new business startups, right? I became a freelancer or a self-employed individual involuntarily. Like, that tends to happen whenever you have these economic recessions. I've seen it before. I know that there are many channel companies. What I find to be fascinating is how many very successful companies have been founded during recessions. There are legends around the technology industry. But what this article was talking about, and I would encourage you guys, you know, follow the link, read the article here, because the story is not just that there are individuals who will be freelancing. This is from the point of view of the hiring manager. And the hiring manager, i.e. decision maker in SMB, mid-size enterprise, and enterprise, indicate a significant increase in their interest and willingness to hire outside talent for things that would have previously been an internal full-time position. My radar goes off and I'm like, ooh, that sounds like managed services. That sounds like a phenomenal upside opportunity. You used to have five guys in your IT department. Now you can only afford two. Now you're worried about how you're going to keep all of that architecture that's now mission critical up and running. I happen to know a few thousand guys who could actually solve that problem with preemptive services and contract commitments and predictive billing. And I mean, okay, that immediately hit something for me. But there's a spot in there, a particular statistic that I found to be especially fascinating. When decision makers are looking to acquire specialized professional skills, they are three out of four of them indicated they would prefer to hire an outside source rather than try to find an internal resource, even if budget was not an issue.
Interesting, because that is an instant like sales opportunity for anybody that's bringing deep specialized knowledge, saying your buyer is much more willing to embrace that. So while, you know, so I think that's the big takeaway in terms of the positioning is, and there's also key in that is the deep business knowledge, deep specialization.
Right.
That's the differentiator on the buy, not technical necessarily, business.
And, you know, it's interesting from the perspective of somebody who's been selling, you know, services for about 25 years, our argument was always, we can do better than your in-house IT because I can call on, if I need a specialist in SQL, I can get a SQL specialist. I can get an Exchange specialist. I can get a security specialist. And so we have a much deeper bench to pull from. And it's kind of like, oh, after decades, they've got the message. Like, you know, that's not just a sales pitch. It turns out it's true. If you hire a specialist, they do a better job. I do like the fact that there's a kind of a shift in willingness. And I think that has to do with the maturity of the buyers. Because remember, the buyers have moved outside of the IT department, right? Different thread we've followed from time to time. But they're seeing, hey, I don't want it just some schmo. I want somebody who actually is a specialist in this. And that means the prices become a little less relevant.
That's true.
Exactly. And see, what I will say there's a There's a really good news, and by the way, you need to pay attention, slightly bad news element to this story. The slightly downside to this is you, Mr. MSP and Mrs. Solution Provider of whatever branded model you have, are about to get undercut by an ocean of freelancers who will try to beat you on price. You need to be prepared to tell a story that says, I understand that that person is available and they are willing to do what sounds like a highly specialized thing for a fraction of the price that I do it for. Let me talk to you about systems, about process, about redundancy, about scalability, about covering the clock, about following the sun. I need to make sure that I can sell my professionalism and my process more than I am selling my technical expertise. Because you're about to run into, and I can see these folks out there even now. One of our clients in the middle of the country just had a sales meeting on Wednesday last week that was focused on this exact topic. That person will do it for a fraction of what you will do it for. Why should I choose you? And the story had to be, because we're not just figuring this out as we go. We're not just a highly specialized individual. We are a business with process, structure, system, and reliability. If you can't sell against the internal audience and the freelancer audience, you're going to get squeezed right now.
Well, and you know, I'm always reminded of the sign at my old Toyota dealership that said, "We fix $29 brake jobs."
I mean, look, there is the old adage, you get what you pay for, but I will also observe, just from a casual perspective, you know, that is not necessarily perfectly true, because there's a real economy in freelancers that are not necessarily in your geography. I mean, I use both Fiverr and Upwork on a very regular basis, get very high quality work at significantly lower prices based on leaving region.
And, you know, our friend Jay McBain automatically points out in situations like this, well, don't dismiss the price argument, because it's like the number three factor that people take into consideration. But I would point out, just because you're considering price doesn't mean that you only go with the cheapest.
Right.
There are people who say, I don't need the most expensive and I will not buy the cheapest, but I need somebody who's within this range and their services are above this quality. So
yeah, price is a factor. It just shouldn't be the factor. And if anybody listening needs to get a tutorial on how to win against a discount argument, there's three human beings here who would love to like fire hose you with that conversation.
Right, exactly.
We've been dealing with that for a generation.
Moving right along, let's talk then about some data. This is my, as I keep laughing, this is my catnip, right? Like, it's research data. Got to talk about it.
Right.
IT Glue released their 2020 global MSP benchmark. So I'll throw out the four pieces of data that I covered over on the Business of Tech to start to let you guys respond, and then we'll dive in a little bit. Because I thought this was the headline. Around half, 51% of MSPs saw monthly revenue decreases as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Additionally, more than a quarter, 29% of MSPs saw their accounts receivable increase, showing more clients could not meet contract deadlines to pay for services. The survey did show a jump in prioritization of cybersecurity from 27% in February to more than 50% in May. And all the old priorities were reshuffled around, replaced not only by cybersecurity, but with customer churn, price pressure, and the potential of a second lockdown.
I will simply point out, we are not covering the article that made a really big deal of saying, hey, managed services is the business model of the future. So, you know.
Yeah, we threw that discovery of mine out on the garbage pile.
When it was clear, it's now a recession, but when it was merely going to be an economic downturn that was going to be a recession, my first response was, if you have been listening to advice for the last 10 years, you're getting paid in advance for everything, so you have no accounts receivable, and so the aging of your AR is irrelevant. And if you had been signing contracts and putting people on recurring programs, you're eventually going to be affected by this, but it's going to take a little bit longer. But you know, having said all that, we have said from day one, it's going to hit your clients' customers, and then it's going to hit your clients, and then it's going to hit you. Like, this is completely predictable.
Yeah, this will roll uphill, and it will require you to play offense and defense. And depending on your situation, you get to choose the sequence. But I would just argue, I'm not really concerned about the sequence because you have to do both. Offense, go out and get more customers who used to have IT capabilities and now they can't afford them on staff anymore. You have a solution that you can use to acquire. And I do believe an outbound proactive sales approach in this marketplace can win for an MSP. But you also have to play defense because your customers will want to churn. We've discussed at length the please do not discount your services, right? But there has to be a plan to play defense and keep your folks around. And the thing that, you know, we've been singing as part of the subscription or recurring revenue model for a number of years, to acquire them is neat. To keep them around for a lifetime is the point and the purpose. That they say yes ever is a good thing. That they have a contract they continue to pay you for a while, cool. Let's make sure they fully adopt your services, that they consume all the value, that you publish the value to them and you tell them, that was me, I did that. This was a really good thing. If you are not beyond the sale of the contract, proactively managing the value that you deliver to them, they will come to a point of zero chaos and pain and financial priorities and go, wait a minute, my IT never burns down anymore. Why am I paying you? And that's a self-inflicted wound for an MSP.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't, I mean, I'm gonna beat on this all the time. I'm gonna tell everybody, be careful of vendor optimism porn. They want to say nice things about the amazing opportunity out there. I'm not sitting here saying that there isn't opportunity. I think Ryan's 100% right. I think we would all agree that there is, that if you're out there playing offense, there is business to be won. But I don't want to set the illusion that the time is easy and that this is, that everything is, you know, there's not disruption, more disruption coming, that there is, that this is going to just be, oh, it's just, there's so much opportunity, you're tripping over it. I want everyone to be specific, very, very deliberate about their moves. When Ryan says defense, that's protect your customers, that's watch cash flow, that's make sure you're being very deliberate with the moves that you make to protect the viability of your business, because this is not a flash in a pan. If you just sort of say a typical recession takes 2 to 3 years to fully recover, I'm willing to go on record as saying, I don't think this series of circumstances is particularly typical. And so I want everyone
to bold statement.
I know I've gone completely out here on my own. But why I say that is because I don't want people to be cavalier about the work ahead and listen to, because it is easy to fall into a sense of security, which by the way is what the optimism porn is all about. Is it wants you to think this is easy and you'll buy their stuff and it will make everything magically work. And I just want you to be very deliberate. That's, again, I'm not saying take your foot off the gas here. What I'm saying is just be careful.
And I would just encourage people to spend time working on your business. If you think about it, you know, I don't know any of those 29%, so I'm not going to point to anybody specifically, but we all know the bottom 25% of this market just doesn't make money. And right. So my guess is those are the people who are losing clients, losing revenue and so forth. So I would be cautious to go out and be too offensive and gobble up all those customers, because they're probably customers that create bottom 25% businesses, right? You know, if all of those customers say, oh, yeah, I really want you to be my IT person, but I'm not going to sign a contract. It's only going to be break fix. I've got a hard limit of $300 a year. You can't build a business on that. So not everything that looks like an opportunity is an opportunity. You need to still maintain the rules and the limits of who you will do business with.
Yeah, and it does speak to, you know, there are a million analysts in this world, and you can get a better picture by listening to many of them than you can by listening to any one of us, right? Nobody has all the magic answers. Please listen around and get a sense of what's really happening out there. But one that I will trumpet 100% is, my favorite smart person in our industry, Tiffany Bova, tweeted the other day that 2020 is the year of the current customer. Now, I will extend that one bit by saying, and by the way, taking away other people's current customers that are not getting good service because they're not playing enough defense and they're not being proactive over there. But I will say, deep and wide, like if you are not getting all of the services, all of the technology from your install base, you are not only leaving money on the table, but you're vulnerable. And I will say this knowing exactly how many MSPs are going to freak out when I say this, but that does absolutely mean the hardware transaction as well. Please do not let those three initials come in here and sell hardware to your contract customers, because they will be happy to do it. And that takes away your account control. So play defense, sell everything deep and wide, and then go out and tell people how much better the world is in your camp.
Alrighty. And guess what? That is just a smooth as silk transition into the topic number three. You know, we talk about the, life after the pandemic, what we're going to look at. What about quarterly business reviews going forward? The business of planning. I think, this has been actually my single favorite way of not only maintaining customers, but getting new customers over the years. And we have this article, this blog post from Siemens. And one of the things they talk about is, that there's a whole new way that you need to do this. And you can't put it off and say, hey, let's get them together and let's have a meeting as soon as everybody's back out of their homes and into their offices again. That's not going to work. You need to just say, hey, as long as we're doing Zoom, let's do our business review that way. And let's figure out now, how should we plan going forward? And literally, don't skip a beat just because there happens to be a global pandemic.
Well, and you'll go, if you follow this blog link here, I think that it makes two other extremely intelligent points. Number one is that planning goes in both directions, right? You, as a solution provider, pick your label, you need to plan with your customers, QBRs and reviews and strategic plans going forward, but you also need to plan your business into the value chain with your vendor partners. Every vendor wants to get a business plan from you, which is usually just code for how much you're going to sell this year and can you grow by 20%. But there are some who legitimately add value. And I would honestly say, use this as a separating criteria. If you have a vendor who does not want to plan with you or only wants you to say, when is that deal going to happen? And are you going to give it to me as soon as I want it to make my quarterly calendar? If they're not bringing value in the planning process, there are other vendors who will. Please use that as a reason to choose option B instead of option A. But the second point that they make in there, again, I think cadence is everything. If it's shocking and dismaying how many solution providers do not have a business plan on paper, please read Carl's book. It is shocking how infrequently they get updated. And if they exist at all, it's this loose definition of this kind of who we are and what we want to do. And it looks into the future a year or so. Okay. A year plan is pointless when the market is moving as radically and as rapidly as it is right now. Quarterly is a good idea. Monthly, hey, that'd be really smart. How about let's get really agile and do it every 2 weeks? If that sounds overwhelming to you, A, you're doing it wrong, and B, you're just not using smart tools. It can be done, and you need that kind of cadence. Please live your plan. Don't just fill out a piece of paper with a vendor and go, cool, put it in the drawer, we'll never look at it again.
Well, you set me up there because in terms of a reference to tools, what I wanted to point out was, and I talked about this in an editorial I did this past weekend about if I was starting an MSP today, what it would look like. And I want to double click a little bit there on the idea of customer experience. One of the things, if I was starting a new business today, delivering technology services, I'd be super focused on ensuring that the customer has a really fantastic experience working with me. chat, availability of maybe text, you know, all of the different ways. And I would make sure that my toolkit supports that. When Ryan talks about the idea of making it easier to do this stuff, that's part of the tool experience. Making sure that all of the information necessary to manage the relationship is easily accessible so that when I pick up the phone to the customer, I have that stuff accessible. And by the way, in my mind, there's a lot of antiquated tools that say they are doing that that really aren't. You know, particularly tools in our space. I'm not going to name any names today. I'm not going to throw those stones. But there is a really different methodology in some of the very modern new cloud tools versus stuff that has been established for a very long time. You know, I mean, and I can say this having launched a new business myself in the past 12 months, you know, the tools that I picked are just blowing me away in terms of their ability to integrate with all kinds of open systems and provide me insights into the people that I'm working with. And the way that they're really agile and just sort of work on my phone really easily. And there's no kludginess to this. When I'm calling somebody, I've got a complete set of information of every bit just beautifully displayed and allowing me to leverage that really easily. That's about managing the customer experience. This is where that investment really does matter and lets you stand out. And I'm not just saying this isn't just, do you have a documentation system? Do you have a ticketing system? It's a really different way of thinking about the customer and the way you manage that interaction. And also making sure the burden doesn't lay on the customer.
It's interesting that, you know, we're in a very unusual time period when people are open to new mental DNA. You know, every once in a while, you go to a marketing group or a networking meeting, and people will say, what's your favorite tool? Like, that was almost my favorite meeting to go to, because people would come up with these really cool tools and things from a variety of businesses, and I would always write down at least a handful that I want to go check out. Well, now you're throwing out of the office into your home, and suddenly people are coming to you and saying, hey, have you heard about this thing called Zoom? I'm like, yeah, we've been doing that for years. There are people who literally didn't know that there was online conferencing in wide distribution across the world until 3 months ago. I mean, like, that seems weird in our industry, but we have to realize there are many, many tools that our clients are open to now that they were not open to in January.
Well,
they're seeing them from various people, and they're like, oh, I'll give that a try. We'll give that a try.
See, and I think that that's an extremely positive way to approach the chaos that we're living in. In times of change, change is actually possible. What has been habit or sunk cost, or that's the way we do things around here. Right now, I think most people are willing to just look at everything they're doing and say, why? Does it have to be that way? Is there a better way? And what they're finding is there are many, and again, across the disciplines of your business, what you sell in your products, the service tools that you use for operating, the business planning tools that you use for strategy and tracking your progress as an actual business entity, there are a lot of cloud native tools out there that are so much more capable than any on-prem tools that we all grew up with 15 years ago. The capability is there. And what I would say is, if you are running the same business shape and form and plan a year from now that you were a year ago, I will predict for you, it will be half the size it used to be because the market is moving away. You either move with it or you get to volunteer to be a dinosaur here. The tools are there. And this is my favorite thing about the blog. Again, please go read this thing. That tool set that they are, it's one of a million tools, so it's not the only one out there, right? But the method that they're using, it is a professional tool online provided by the vendor into the partner community. And it is not just for the sake of, what is your sales forecast? Please tell me how many things you're going to sell. It is actually a planning platform that the partner can use themselves, provided for them by their vendor. Hey, that sounds like value add. That sounds like a reason to be in business with people. And it might just give you a hint that those people think the way you think. in planning a business, you know you have to do it differently. You know you have to do things differently. People are freaked out by the change. Embrace the fact that things are going to be weird and there are really capable tools out there, and then seek out professionals who want to be agile with you.
Well, I think we've beaten on that one pretty well.
So yeah, just, I mean, a final word about the roadmap. I call them technology roadmaps. I mean, this is such a great time to get together with your clients, you know, for no other reason than to say, hey, how are you doing? Because I haven't seen you in 3 months and I just want to make sure you're fine, your family's fine, you know, how you're holding up, you know, are you ready to get back in there? And then it's a nice, smooth conversation into, you know, when you are ready, let's plan it together and be the partner that you would want to have if you were running your own business.
And I think my add to that is don't assume any old assumptions necessarily are still valid. I think everyone is very comfortable re-examining. That is a positive too, that meaning that all kinds of old barriers, as we alluded to on video conferencing alone, old barriers are gone. In a time of disruption, new thinking, it can be easily rewarded. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of that opportunity to examine all those old bits that are still lingering that you're ready to make a change on, because disruption can be your friend.
Yeah, and also, no matter how good you are at what your services might be, if you do not do QBRs, somebody else will be happy to do that with your install base.
Yeah, I still will. So just a quick reminder about new technology. There's all this new social media. You should be sharing the Killing It podcast with all of your friends and your associates, and you should be giving us a thumbs up and, you know, making sure that you subscribe to us on your podcatcher and, you know, spread the word.
Spread the word. We do appreciate it. And tell, you know, spread the word, particularly give us feedback. Let us know what you're thinking, but help us continue to grow the audience. If we're adding some value to your day, one of the best things you can do for that is sharing it out and letting others know. It really actually makes a huge difference. So we very much appreciate that.
Amen.
My favorite part is when I get to say, thank you for tuning in to episode 65 of the Killing It podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Killing It podcast. Please share with your friends and tell everyone to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the podcast places. Join us next week and help us keep killing it in the technology business.